I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends. I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TEAMPLAYR.US. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Colin Brett, CEO and co-founder of Player Stat Data. Now, if you're like me and a nerd when it comes to numbers, this is your type of company, the type of program. And at the end of the day, actually gives some great insight onto how your player is doing. This company does so much, and I'm not going to dive too much into it, so I'll start this chat and head to the pitch.
I'm Colin Brett, co-founder and CEO of PlayerStat Data. At PlayerStat Data, what we do is we are solely focused on youth soccer player development data solutions and leveling the playing field, essentially at youth soccer level, when it comes to the data that they can access. We have clients at the moment in the MLS Next, in the NAL, in Massachusetts, and we have clients here in Ireland and one in Alberta, Canada. It's something that's growing purely because we believe that more and more youth operations realize the value they can get from data, and you don't need a data science or data engineering degree to make sense of it. So yeah, that's who we are.
So where did you get your start in the beautiful game of soccer or football, whatever you want to call it?
I'm 40, 41 now. I've probably been playing soccer since I was 6 or 7 here in Ireland. like everybody. It would be great to be able to make a living from what you love. So the dream, like everyone, is to have be some kind of professional soccer player or work within soccer. Unfortunately, I wasn't good enough. I was nowhere near good enough. So I always tried to keep in touch with developments within sport, within soccer. And I became a soccer analyst for a company called Football Radar back in 2015, based in London. And they actually went on to own Notts County, which I'm sure many of your listeners will be aware of, that Wrexham Disney show. So they used data that they collected, Football Radar, and brought it to Notts County, similar to the Brentford and Brighton models in the Premier League. So I was involved there. And yeah, that's what piqued my interest in soccer data and being able to watch soccer for a living, which is a nice job.
Awesome. So your company does stick with data. What type of data and how are you gathering this data then?
Our process for collecting the data is quite simple. The clubs that we work with and clubs we will work with, they send us their match video footage, their MP4 footage. We need that, and we need a team sheet or a lineup, just the players that started and the substitutes that came on. We then manually collect the individual player performance data from that match footage, and we send it back to our clients via our soccer intelligence coach platform element, and also through our unique, like first in the industry, soccer intelligence player app. Now, what we collect is very simple, and very importantly, it's very objective. So we collect, I think it's seven, at the last count, it's 76 individual metrics, successful and unsuccessful, across possession metrics, defensive, attacking, goalkeeping, and set piece metrics. So in essence, Ian, what we do is we count what happens on the pitch per player, collect that data, and relay it back to our coach clients and back to their players, so they can objectively assess what happened game by game, and then themselves interpret whether KPIs are being reached within each team or whether players are developing in an upward trend. We don't get into what players should or shouldn't have done or what they could have done better. We just give the information back to the clients as to what happened, and they then interpret from there.
Hearing how you get your information, how you're doing your software, this explains more of your background and where you're coming from with the statistical side. So is this how the business started? Was seeing this as a need from a club perspective to help youth sports and to help professional sports to get more data and information? Is this how the company started? Was this light bulb went off saying, I can do this better? Or did you just say, no, this is a great idea, I'm going to just improve upon it? And this, how did with the collecting of the data, so in the 76 metrics?
So when we started the company, PlayerStat data, it was 2019, we were actually primarily focused on the senior side of soccer, and specifically in the League of Ireland. It's a huge recruitment market, especially for UK clubs, because there's a lot of undervalued players playing senior level soccer in Ireland, and they can then go over to the EFL, the likes of Evan Ferguson, Gavin Bazunu, Jake O'Brien, that's just moved to Everton. They've all come from League of Ireland, and they've moved for very little money. So we tried to get into that market initially, selling our data to clubs in the UK and into agencies as well. But we were up against Y Scout, and at the time Instat, when they were still around. And no matter how much better our data was compared to Y Scout and Instat, we were so far behind with regards to awareness and resources and size, we just couldn't do anything. So we looked around, we had the data infrastructure in place, we had a good data product, and we said, okay, this, we have something here. We just don't have the product market fit. And then we came across the youth market, primarily in North America, which we found was, we did a lot of market research and found that there was a gap in the market here, especially from an individual player perspective. You have VO analytics, you have an element that Huddle do, you have pro scores, you have a lot of companies. We all collect data from matches. A pass is a pass, a shot on goal is a shot, a tackle is a tackle. We're not doing anything differently. But we found that there wasn't such a focus on objective individual player performance outputs and relaying that back to coaches, back to players and back to parents. So that was a gap we noticed, and that was a niche that we've decided to focus on and drill straight down into that. So yeah, we believe we can do a lot better than some of the packages out there from the likes of VO Analytics, because we can tailor to each individual client. So from an offering perspective, were a little bit more bespoke than the off-the-shelf solutions such as the, I keep mentioning, VO Analytics. But also there wasn't, we didn't notice a player in the market that had such a sole focus on objective view player data output. So we said, everybody wants a Liverpool client, everybody wants a Barcelona, everybody wants a big club over in the USA, everyone wants an Inter Miami, you know, to say that they're working with them. But there's a huge industry underneath within the youth game with clubs that have the video footage, but they don't realise that they have a gold mine of data insights within every single element, within every single match MP4 that we can unlock for them and give them back to them quite simply.
With your program, I'm going to take the video systems that are out there. Can you use an overlay to log into them if they give you access to directly pull the data then? The video in, so you don't have to be part of their quote team and have access to their team data. When you pull it in, are you using human element to get the data, or are you using AI? These video companies are using AI to get very raw data, and it's not always accurate. So how do you pull in the data, and how are you analyzing the data to make sure it's as accurate as it possibly can be?
So initially for us to access the video, it's completely up to the client. The clients that we currently work with, they, like you mentioned, add us to their VO team or their Huddle team, whatever the package is. We just simply download the MP4 footage. Other clubs we've worked with, they've sent us the MP4 files via Google Drive, OneDrive, WeTransfer, whatever it might be. That's all we need. We just need the match footage via MP4 and we get to work. Once we get it, we are going to lean into AI. We're developing a model at the moment here in Ireland, which will initially have player and ball location data. But seeing some of the AI-driven insights from a data clip, from like a metric perspective, we haven't decided to go down that route yet. We've invested in our data collection team by keeping it, to sound like an evil villain, but to keep it human. Do you know what I mean? That means we have control ourselves in-house of the data that's collected. We have a quality control process within our data collection team. So we're always spot checking and making sure that it was Ian that had that successful pass in the 47th minute. It was Colin that had that header off target in the 79th minute. Because one of the key things we found with our market research was a lot of the data that's put forward to some clients through some of these analytics packages, they're just plain wrong. And one particular example, which I won't mention names or companies or anything, but they missed out on goals in a particular game. So if this package using AI is missing out on goals, then they're certainly missing out on a successful sideways pass and an unsuccessful defensive aerial duel. By us just keeping our standards in-house, keeping it manual, keeping it using human analysts, we keep control of our data integrity and would be very confident we can go up against any of the main players with regards the output collected, and we would be pretty confident that our data will be of much higher accuracy and of better quality.
I ask because that's one thing I do pay attention to, is I love watching, rewatching game video, especially if my son or if someone who I know is playing and they'll send me a video and I'll watch the whole game. I've been looking at camera systems recently and looking at the different quality. I'm like, how in the world can AI keep track that player's number? I can't even make it out. How can the AI keep track of it, especially when they crisscross with another player. Only reason I know who it is, it's because I know the player. And if I was an AI system, I probably wouldn't be able to detect enough information. That's why I was asking, because it, to me, that's huge. Until the camera systems are, you can see the fly on their shoulder from 100 yards out, we won't know who it is well enough. But that being said, and, as you breaking, go ahead.
Sorry, and interestingly, this book I mentioned just off camera by Ian Graham, he was on about tracking data at elite level, at Liverpool UEFA level, where they were looking for tracking data in the Champions League and all this. And they were a lot of cameras at these games, AI cameras that were tracking players and distances that were put in by UEFA. But up until 2021, Liverpool and teams of their caliber weren't greatly able to trust the caliber of data that came from those UEFA cameras because they had no quality control process system in place. So if UEFA didn't have it in 2021, with all the money they have and the technology at their disposal, it gives you an idea of, I think in many cases, clubs are happy to have an element of data. And anecdotally, a few other companies I've spoken with from more of a gambling perspective, so those companies that provide data to bookmakers and to private gamblers and what have you, and an acceptable standard of accuracy is about 70%, which is 7 in 10 metrics correct. And to me, that's nonsense. Why would you accept 3 things to be wrong? So we're investing ourselves in our own team, in our own training, to get that as close to 10 out of 10 every single time as possible. Because if you can't trust what we say, then we've lost all kind of stature and standing within the youth game.
And how accurate is your information? We're talking about the Champions League and the data they collect. I know that they have to be pretty accurate. They aren't always that accurate when going back and looking at game footage. I won't say what games I've watched, and I've noticed things are missing in those games that I'm looking for a moment. Now, how accurate would you guys say that you guys try to strive between? Because I know there's a variance window. No matter, there's nothing perfect in the world. There's always as accurate as you can. And in time, it gets better.
Our accuracy with the team that we have in place, I can guarantee our accuracy is certainly over 90%. What we put into the team is, if they're unsure, the fact that it's manual, we stop, rewind, and rewatch. If we're unsure of who the player is, we then work out who it's not. So it can't be the number 2 right back. It can't be the number 5. It can't be the number 8. He just lost possession 10 yards up the pitch. It can't be the number 11. She ended up going off the field for something. So we rule out who it's not and then walk deeper into who it is. It slightly slows down our process. We're about 2.25 hours to collect the data from a 90-minute game. But this extra layer of detail and care, that's it may only be for an unsuccessful tackle, but it's when they go in and look at all their video clips, each player, they can be pretty confident. Yeah, these 50 events, these are all me. I won't be watching somebody else, because if we're not right, we're not at the party. Our analysts are well experienced. A lot of them have come from Football Radar. It's hard to get a job in there, Ian, and it's quite difficult to keep it, because there's such a focus on data accuracy and integrity. So we've all been schooled extremely well. So we've brought that forward. That it doesn't always happen where we have to stop, rewind. But in those cases where there's any element of uncertainty as to who it is, it isn't just blind guesswork. We're not relying on an algorithm. We're digging in and saying, right, who was it? Sorry, who wasn't it? And then if that eliminates 8 players, okay, let's figure out which of the 3 could it be, and then assign it to the correct person and we figure that out.
And with the data points that you're collecting, do you guys gather it per minute, per second of the game? Or do you guys, for timestamp purposes, so if someone wants to go back and watch a certain point, that you're like, this is all the times I have this, is the video clip broken down with it, or is it just strictly stats?
No, video clip is with us down to the second of the event. So through our player app at the moment, the players and parents will be able to access every single event in a 10-second video clip that the player has been involved in per game. So how that works is there's 4 seconds build up, about a second and a half of the actual event itself, and then the 4.5 seconds, 5 seconds after the event. So it gives you a bit of a background into the event. Then if it's just a successful pass, the successful pass is played in 5 seconds, and then you have the aftermath. Those clips for the moment within our player app are watchable only, but with the version that we're developing at the moment with our app developers, that will be downloadable to the devices that the users are watching them on. So that hopefully will be a feature in about 2 to 3 months max. But yeah, it's down to the exact second happened and 5 seconds before and 5 seconds after.
Awesome. The version that you're hoping to have up probably by the time this is released will be available for folks to have, because it is the version that you have out on the market. You gave me access to your app and a sign-in, and I was playing with it, and I was very impressed with how easy it was to navigate, go through and change statistics and figuring out what I wanted to look at. And what was really interesting, I went through and selected them all, trying to figure out which one had no data in it. And almost everything has data unless it's player specific, like a goalkeeper. The person that is already in the system, the player that's already in the system is not a keeper, so there's no keeper data. Now, is there a way to filter out the data, or is there a metric you can have or you have available to see what data points you do have for each player, or is it just a search and look type of thing?
At the moment, with the version one we have out, it's a little bit of a search and look. There's the ability to select and deselect from each metric. So it's more of that kind of sense, is that the player or the parent that says, okay, I'd like to see the goals I scored. I'd like to see my successful passes. We would expect them to be more towards those eye-catching metrics. Around possession, around goals, around assists, that type of stuff. With us being humans, I don't think we like to see unsuccessful defensive aerial duels too much. We don't want to see the things that we lost. I'm a goalkeeper over 30 years. I don't want to see videos of all the goals I conceded. That wouldn't make for good watching, and I wouldn't have enough time because I've conceded a lot of goals. For the moment, it's search and look, and give the tools to be able to filter the ones that you don't want to see. Maybe just search the few and see if there's metrics there. But with version 2 and preceding ones and ones after, the usability and the experience will get that bit more focused and drilled down. And we also hope to have an element where when you press on the metric name, a definition will pop up for some of those that might be a little bit, that might need an element of explanation. But on the whole, we haven't created anything new apart from one or two. Pass direction, tackles, headers, standing challenges, crosses, efforts on goal. They really don't need to be defined.
No, they don't. Looking at this from a parent perspective, not having a lot of... Being an American, we don't grow up with soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, to be a full understanding. I have engulfed my life into this sport over the last almost 5 years, and so my terminology is completely different than my wife's. And looking at this from a parent perspective, so yeah, having the highlighting part there with the information. I know that as things go on, improvements are made, and having data points is so important. As you're collecting these data points, how do you use them to let players know where they're standing with their data?
So what we like to leave, so we're, with the clubs we work with, we're looking to help the players in two respects. So firstly, giving them access to the aggregated season total, which is the first thing that they see in their overview, to see what they're doing to that point of the season as we speak, and also individual game-by-game breakdowns from a data perspective and also from a video perspective. On top of that, within our Soccer Intelligence Coach platform, we're giving a little bit more granular access to data for the coaches. So so that both sides of the coin, both sides of the relationship have access to this, and those that can action it, i.e. the coaches around individual player development plans, something different within training, whatever it may be, that information is there as well, so that the player can go back to the coach and say that my pass completion has slightly decreased over the last 3-4 weeks, or I'm not winning as many attacking aerial duels as I've been used to. But it's just informing both sides of the equation with objective numerical data, which it's evidential, it can't be argued with. It's what happened on the pitch, not what could have happened. And bringing that objectivity to both sides of the player-coach and the coach-parent relationship and say, what's the best pathway that we can put in place for this player over the coming 6 months? So it's not based on guesswork. It's based very much on, here's what happened in the game, here's what she's strong at, here's what she's weak at, let's focus on the weaknesses and see how we can measure them. Or let's measure them over the next 6 months to see, is there improvement, as opposed to missing a weakness because your eye didn't notice it or you believed that she was better than she was at playing passes progressively towards the opposition goal. So we like to just give them all the information that we have and then let the interpretation happen at the coach, at the player, and at the parent level.
I like that. So you made a comment, you're like, no one wants to see the mistakes they make along the way. And here I want to see what mistakes my player makes, because you were successful in this one circumstance. Great. But why did you not make this success? And that's what I always bring to my 10-year-old son. It's not just me nitpicking at him. It's trying to get him to focus on if he's making the same mistake over and over again. Missed tackles is one that I love, because when I did coach, missed tackles were the best opportunity for a player to learn how to manipulate their body. And I don't think, when you're talking 6-year-olds, that if you can teach them to manipulate their body like they're going in for the ball, you're going to make whoever coming in with the ball more likely fumble. And if you actually have clips of this, especially at the older age groups, teaching them, like, look, you dove in, you poked too early, or you overcommitted here, I think it really does help players realize where they're at and where they're going and what they want to do and how to help them advance. I guess I look at the negative, not the positive, and how to fix the negative to be a positive.
I think it comes down to the individual, those right. that are looking for that college scholarship. Those that want to reach the potential as they see it. The good and the bad is there for them to look at and say, right, here's what I can improve, or whatever it may be. But as I said, it's just hard to look in the mirror sometimes, especially when you think you're better at something, and unfortunately you're not. It's a bit of a cold realization.
Sports are a cold and lonely path, I'm learning. It doesn't matter what position you play. My wife and I have had a lot of talks about goalkeepers, because we always hate when things come down to PKs, because you can only study someone for so long. It's like I'm trying to teach my son, yeah, you're great with your right foot, now learn how to kick with your left foot. So they can't get enough data points on you when you go shoot your PK.
And all the advantages are there and also lost. There's no surprise.
And that's how I look at the game. I look at it as very data-centric. I've always, as a parent and someone that, when I coached the kids, you're talking 6 and 7-year-olds going back, or 5 and 6-year-olds, not 7, 5 and 6-year-olds. And they were their jersey number. I had to dehumanize them in order to coach them. I know that sounds horrible as a person, but it helped me take the emotional side out of it, of coaching, and strictly try to help them better understand what they're trying to do. Because I was coaching my son also. He was no longer my son. He was his jersey number. And that helped me a great deal, because it dehumanized it for me, so I would treat him the same. Because I tend to harp a little bit more because he is my child. What I thought I really enjoyed seeing is how you guys were able to compare other athletes, where they stood with all the data matrix that you already had. So this is great, because someone that likes to see rankings and where players sit, and so they understand, hey, look, like, you have room to grow. And you're winning in this category, so let's get all your groups winning in your categories that are important to you, or you're sitting dead last in tackles and winning tackles.
Yeah.
Why? And let's go. And that's, as a coach, I can't imagine having that for a team. I mean, just team stats alone. Who, forget the whole world, just your team or your club, the stats that you can gather. So with that being said, do you have, outside of the app, do you guys have it broken down elsewhere where a coach has it in their metrics where they can look at it differently?
Within the coach platform, there is, okay, roll back this ever so quickly. Within the player app, they'll be able to, they will be given a specific age, position, and a region. So they'd be able to see how they rank per metric against every other player of their age group in their position within specific regions. As we get more and more clients, we'll add millions more data points into our data bank, making those insights deeper and deeper. And it can go two ways. It can go the route that it can add to the player's profile when it comes to the college recruitment. So the things that, yes, here's my highlight reel, but I'm also the, as a right back in New England, I have the highest pass completion over 20 games. I have the second highest defensive aerial duels, created the most amount of chances of any right back in New England, so on and so forth. That's where we're looking to go with it. But also, instead of just giving a blind number to some players, if they want to be the best, they also get to see how far behind they are from the best. So they may only be a percentage or two behind the best striker at U14 level for shot efficiency, which is the number of efforts on target compared to the overall total. So it gives that level of detail and insight so that, yes, I'm not the best, but here's what the best is currently, and this is what I need to reach to be the best. So it gives attainable and measurable targets for players, which we find, if it's not, if someone is better but you haven't got numbers behind, it's quite difficult. But if there's numbers behind what they do, here's what I can reach. From a coach perspective, within the coach platform, at the moment, they can only do it across each team. So a coach with 17 players can identify who's played the most number of passes out of all 17 players, who's had the most number of successful passes out of all 17, the most number of progressive passes, so on and so forth. So it could be a bit of an eye-opener to say, I expect my number 6, my number 8, or my number 10 to be heavy in possession and to be able to dictate to play the game by the ball going through them. And if they are 8th, 9th, or 10th down the list, you know, behind some wingers or some fullbacks, it brings that level of insight to the coach to say, okay, either they're not getting on the ball enough, for whatever reason, we're not getting it to them, or they're not looking to get the ball. That's what I mean about it allows them to interpret the numbers as they see fit, not for us to go back and say, we've noticed that your number 10 isn't showing as often for the ball. We don't get into that. We just tell them, here's what happened, and here's what it has been over the season to this point. So we give that team granularity to coaches, and what we're rolling out over time is that the gatekeepers within the clubs, and we call them gatekeepers, the likes of the exec director, a technical director, the head of the academy, whatever it may be, that we can bring all the players. If we had six teams with your club, Ian, if we were able to get them in to bring all six together, and then you could have a list of quick maths, 112 players, and okay, who's completing the most number of passes, who has the most efforts on goal, and then have a kind of an in-club ranking and maybe nudge one or two players that you can be higher up this list within the club. So we're creating it so that ultimately it's not just a data dump and coaches and players and parents make use of what we give them. We want to mould it around what will work for them and what will have the greatest impact on their end. So I think that given those rankings, which not so big here in Ireland, but from my multi-year exposure to ESPN and the likes, rankings and numbers are quite big in North American sports. So to be able to give that back to coaches, players and parents at youth level, but also actionable. It's not just saying that she's number 3 in the state. What does that mean? To give that information to the player and show them how far off number one they are, and hopefully they can get there. That's what we're looking to do with the player rankings, which also nobody else is doing in this space, which is really where we believe we stand out.
I'm looking at this. You talked about many different aspects of rankings. Let's say someone has a game, their club or these families buy a package and they only do so many games a year. And they say, I'm going to do 5 games a year. We play 32 games. Will you be able to take their statistics you give them? And even if someone else buys a package, if my family buys 5 packages a year and another teammate buys 5 packages and we decide to do 2 different games, it's no longer, it's my individual. I'm not looking at clubs. They give you your information, and so they give you the roster information. Will you just do the individual player, or will you be doing everyone still in the game because it creates more data points for you?
Yeah. Well, our offering for the time being, we go above the parents for the time being within clubs, and we go straight to the clubs. And we say, okay, we sell 10, 20, and 30 game packages, so clubs can get what they see fit. But we go into the clubs primarily because, A, we found from our research that clubs needed something that allowed them to stand out from local rivals, to stop that player drain, to enhance their player retention strategies and player retention efforts by saying, look, that club down the road is offering you boom, 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 but they haven't got this wonderful thing on your phone that you can get with us. So we've kind of jumped straight for the time being to the clubs and not with individual parents, because to go back to your question, we will, to make it make sense, we'll have to collect the data on every player anyway. It makes sense for us company-wise because it will still take nearly as long to collect the data on one player as it will on every player. You'll have to stop, watch, instead of fast forward to the point, unless it's a goalkeeper, and that can be quite simple. You just fast forward every time the ball is at one end of the pitch. But in general, for the accuracy leveling, we make sure that we don't take shortcuts, we don't cut any corners. We watch the footage, we take it all out. So it's for individual parents for the time being, I would just say to them, just sell us to your club and we can do a pretty good package whereby it gets out to all players, but obviously it may be just of value to some players and their parents for the time being. But going forward, as we grow and as we get more and more data into our data bank, we will be able to come up with a package that's player centric. So if the parent of a number 6 just wants it for their player, we will be able to offer that. But for the time being, it's a whole team package for the moment. And by going into the clubs and they deciding which teams they may or may not want monitored across our platform, that's our approach for now. We certainly will be open to the individual parent approach at some point, but just not now.
Okay. I just ask because I'm looking at this as... It's competition at the end of the day, and I care nothing against the rest of my son's teammates, but or future teammates. I only worry about my son because there's only 5, like we've taught him, there's only 5 things you can worry about, and they're all dealing with yourself. You can't worry about the other. There's 5 things that I think his name is McAllister put out, and several other motivational coaches have put out. You can't worry about these 5 factors, and one of them is your teammates. You can only worry about yourself and the things that affect you. As a parent, that's what I'm looking at, and so we have to push it through our club. So now with the clubs, do you ask for the other team's roster, or do you only care about that club's roster then?
We only care about that club's roster, because they are the ones who are paying for it. They are in charge. Like, our data can only be as good as the information that is fed to us. So to add an extra layer and trying to get us the player roster, or if it's hard to make out on the other side of the pitch, if it's the number 12 or the number 14 that came on in the 65th minute, at least with our clients, we can go back to our kind of contacts, be it the technical director or just straight to the head coach. Excuse me, what change did you make in the 65th minute? Was it the number 12 or number 14? So for us to keep a handle on the integrity of our data and keeping things nice and tight, we just focus on the club for now. But in time, we will be at the stage where we realise we're collecting 50% of the data available from a game. We make small steps and we build and we build and we get snowball effect, and all of a sudden we're buying out the likes of VO and Huddle because we become so big. But just for now, we're focusing on the club client because we are a company, we're a customer-focused company. We don't want the level of the data we give to them being diluted by us doubling our workload on some players that we may be unsure of. So we're just solely focused on the client for now.
Awesome. No, that's what I like to hear, because data is king, especially in what I do for work. And the more data you have, the more data points you have. And I'm just thinking, like, to get your player profiles so they can have a rankings, it's really cool when you can see what it is against the other team, like against the other clubs in the area. But once again, only one side's paying for it, so I understand. Now, with that being said, there's all these other systems out there. You can get, I have talked to private coaches that will just do it for one player. You're doing it for a whole squad. How do you vary from all the other commercial products out there that are in this world that separate you from them?
Other than the data that we've been on about over the course of the chat about how we slice and dice it and repackage it out is very much different to what is out there. We don't deal in subjectivity. We don't deal in, like, some competitors of ours will go into, they look to rank communication, leadership, elements like that on a scale of 1 to 10. Even if they were to say a player's use of the ball or ability in possession, we don't go into that. We just tell you what they did in possession and then let you assess whether they're reaching their ability or whether they can do better or whether they're actually off where you believe they should be. So it's having that focus on objectivity and a simple count of getting it back to our coaches, getting it back to the players, getting them back to their parents. Here's what happened on the pitch, and now you can interpret after the event, which we believe we are relatively different when it comes to that, with the range of data that we collect. If we have 100 clients this time next year, we will in essence have 100 different types of platforms. And what I mean by that is not every coach or every club will have the same KPIs when it comes to what they want from their rosters. To name drop one of our current clients, Boston Bolts, they look towards, obviously they are invested in the scoreline and they're invested in winning because it's sport. But the culture within their organization is player first, and it is with many other clubs, but just in our example, Boston is player first. So if the players are meeting the KPIs set out in front of them, there's progress there. The score is obviously quite important, but if they were to lose a game 5-6-0, not they won't be happy, but they will instantly go and see our players doing what was asked of them, which is very important. So by us having that individual granularity, that individual focus, it allows our clients to drill into that and not just take. Like, goals shouldn't be a measure of performance. Results shouldn't be a measure of performance. So by us drilling down with this accurate data full of integrity, but then having the individual focus on top of it, we believe that's where we're going to stand. Like, to take an example, the likes of VO Analytics, very much team-based and driven around set pieces, team passes, elements like that. We can go into first half detail, second half detail, individual player in different positions. That's all available across our soccer intelligence solutions. And importantly, we can switch things on and off in the background at the coach level. The players can do it anyway by selecting and deselecting. But to bring an example up, like Y Scout, you get a huge range of data points within Y Scout, huge amount of video, and that's what you work with. With us, we collect all the metrics, and if the coaching staff only want to see 15 metrics, we'll switch 60-something metrics off in the background, and they just see the 15 they want. If they want to add 5, take away 5, add in 15, that can be done. Our platforms are customizable to what the player wants to see, what the coaching staff wants to see, and what the parents want to see. So it's not just here is everything we collected, make sense of it. We work with each client and say, what do you want to see from us? And we provide it back to clubs in that respect. And then a little small one, but I think something that will end up having a huge impact over the coming years is that our player app and the coach, the Soccer Intelligence Coach platform, when the new version of that is rolled out soon, they're all customizable by club. So they're in essence white labeled, and the club get their logo on it, and the two primary colours from the logo will be incorporated across the player app and the coach platform. So it keeps that, it helps to enhance that community element. It's not just a player stat data logo and the data. It's a Boston Bolts platform. It's a Watford FC platform. That's where we're looking to go with it. So it really becomes club-centric. It becomes molded by what the coaches want to see. And with the players, give them the tools so they can cut out the noise and drill exactly into what they want to see as well.
Now, I just came across some thinking more about this because my brain is data points. You talk about all the different stats. You talked about set pieces and things along that line, successful. How far do you go into the set piece? Because it's delivering the set piece, the connection of the set piece, and depending if it translates, if it's a corner kick, let's say, does it translate to a goal? And do you guys keep the metrics of how often does a corner kick translates to a goal, or from a header or a touch or an own goal, or do you guys have it broken down differently?
At the moment, what we provide back to the client is the count. We provide back the video. So excellent. We have successful and unsuccessful corners. We have successful and unsuccessful free kicks within the opposition third. So we don't count free kicks in the halfway line or even your own. It's those ones that are turned into attacking situations, be it a direct shot on goal or a cross into the box, whatever it may be. So for now, we're collecting that data and just relaying it back to the clients from a numerical standpoint and from a video standpoint. But within the research element in our company, we're now moving towards deriving extra insights from the data we collected. So we're going to slowly move into expected goals, and this could be like a world exclusive, which would be great, but we're going to delve into age-specific expected goals, because we'll have a huge number of U13 efforts on goal, a huge number of U14, U15, U17, and so on. We'll have all those, and we can generate our own XG model specific to age groups, because a shot from 25 yards out is a completely different animal for a U13 player compared to a U19 player. And by going to that level of research with the data that we're collecting, it's all within our data bank, we can then roll that out across possession values. The effectiveness of a use of an under 13 number 6 in possession compared to a U19 number 6 in possession. And that will then relay itself down to set pieces. How often are we getting to a set piece position, and what's our expected threat essentially from a corner kick, from a free kick? That will only come, we could do that now in quite simply, but it would be woefully undercooked, because you need a huge number of examples to make right. That worthwhile. But it's in our wheelhouse and we're working on it now, because again, as to what sets us apart from everyone else that's there, we're youth-focused, U13 to U19, and the amount of specific video clips and data points we have across those age groups allow us to be able in time to derive data insights that nobody in the world will be able to, because we'll be tens of thousands, if not millions, of examples ahead across each age group, which will and also what we're conscious of within the research department is that yes, we can do it, and yes, we can get all this data, but we also have to work with the clients and everyone as to what actually has value at U13 level, what makes sense at U19 level. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. It's, is there value in expected goals at certain age levels? Is there value in generating the possession value of a player at certain age groups and so on and so forth? So once we get to that level and once we get everything right, then we'll see what makes the most sense for our clients and we'll roll it out, because to put it out, but just because we can and not have any utility or value to the end user is pointless. But I think that if we can create this level of data insight on a per player basis and it makes sense for the coaches, the player and the parent, then we've really hit a goldmine.
I just look at it because when I'm talking to coaches, because I'm not even thinking games, I'm also thinking training sessions at this point in time for coaches, because if they can get their training sessions announced, like scrimmages or training sessions where things are being analyzed more and broken down more, the one thing I have learned is how backwards our model here in the United States. It's all we are always worrying about the ball in the back of the net, the final score of the match, and not so much worrying about the completion factor of possession for the ball, or completing 1-2s or a bounce pass. There's the 1-2s, there's the when somebody yells man on, they quickly pass it back and they switch it quickly, things along that line. Are you guys going to have that data be trackable in the future, or do you guys already have some representation of that now?
The likes of those bounce passes and elements like that, is it? We collect all that. We just need to be able to derive it from the output that we have. We collect every single, we have a report called a possession chain. So any possession chain of 3 or more passes, we are able to have the video of that from start to finish and detail each player that was involved in the chain and at which position. So we're able to do that at the moment. And that's just simply, just we click Colin successful sideways pass, Ian successful forward pass, Colin successful long pass. So we just do individual tags, but our data science department is then able to take all that and derive a possession chain from it, because as you well know from your expertise and background, it's just taking data points and making a story out of start to end. So we are capable of doing that. With regards to bounce passes, that's something that can be in our wheelhouse as well, purely because we're collecting. If I do a bounce pass with you, successful forward pass to you, within a split second there is a successful sideways pass and then a dribble from me. Quite simply, from the data, just taking one and one, you can derive that's a bounce pass, because I have possession back about a second after I've given it, and there's a successful pass in the middle. So it's all there. It's all in what we've collected. It's just a case of us packaging it as our clients want to see it, which first and foremost, and I'm keen to get that point across, just because we can deal with it doesn't mean we should. But right, all this stuff has utility and value at the user's end. That's where we're driven to make a change in that. What are we missing? We're missing this and that. Or to kind of labor on that and just to flex our muscles ever so slightly. We had a conversation with a client last Friday and they wanted an element added to the goalkeeper metrics that could have a huge knock-on effect from what they're doing from a goalkeeper analysis perspective. And we were able to add it, because we're small, we're nimble, we're flexible. And I said, you will not be able to get the CEO of Vio on a call and ask him to add in this metric, but you can with us. And luckily, as we get bigger and bigger and get Vio and all of them, you can still come to us and say, look, I think there's something that's missing here. It could be like a ridiculous example, but you're not collecting goals scored. Is there any chance you can add that? We'll test it. And if you can add it, it'll be added. And it goes all across our platforms. So that level of flexibility, the fact that we collect it, we can always add, and we can take away as well. I think that's going to be important for us over the next 2 years of establishing ourselves as different from the off-the-shelf and relatively concrete packages. So here's what we collect, make use of it, whereas with us, here's what we collect. What else would you like to see? Is it the bounce passes? Is it a goalkeeper unsuccessfully coming for a cross? Yep, once we can test it and make sense of it, and it makes sense, then we'll add it. I could be proven wrong, but I'm happy to go out on a limb and using the motto of the turtle, you won't get anywhere by sticking your neck out. I don't think anybody can do that level of customer-centric data inclusion at this stage. And I think that's where we're really going to stand out as well.
I like that. I look at, as I also have my day job, and I look at data differently, I think, than most parents, just because of my day job. And there are data points that make sense to me that I want to see, and but as on the whole level, it might not make sense to actually add into the package. And I think parents and coaches have to understand that it has to be universal. It can't just be a one-off because you want to see the stat. And I think parents, I think those one-offs are sometimes not as important unless you're building something around it. And that's between you and the client to figure out if it's truly important enough to add it into your data metrics.
And so, just quickly on that point as well, we don't want to weaponize parents on the sideline as well to show percentages that coaches, yay, my kid is 94% pass completion or 96% shot efficiency. We don't want that situation to occur either. So I think there's a little bit of an education piece around it as well. That's why if we just did these huge data dumps and didn't really back up what we're saying with our clients with education sessions to get the most out of our metrics, it'd be irresponsible of us. But if we, a lot of what we do is pretty much understandable as it is without having a USSF license or a UEFA license, whatever it may be. We just don't want to arm people with stats just for the sake of having stats. There has to be an end product to it. And we're very much focused on that. We don't want numbers out there for the sake of numbers. It has to be. And it always comes down to the benefit of the player. And that's why clubs, that's why coaches are coaching. That's why parents are paying the fees they're paying. They want the kid to play soccer and they want the kid to be as good as they can be. So that is the focus.
You made a point. You don't want the stats to be weaponizing against coaches and clubs. And I think people don't understand stats fully. Just because you have a 94% rating, pass rating, but why? Is it because you receive the ball and pass it, make a good, successful pass right away and never dribble? Or is it because they are playing a certain position on the field and they're able to have those stats given to them because parents don't truly understand what the stat means? Or I honestly have my opinion when it comes to sports stats, that sports stats are very much in the moment. And I think I like that you have the availability of the clip because it will show them before they receive the pass or if they're part of a chain and what they're doing. My favorite thing to watch is even in the pro level, they pass the ball, next person receives the ball, they take a few dribbles, they pass it off, but everyone's standing still once they release the ball. They're no longer moving. And I think, yeah, you have a great stat that shows that you are passing and being successful, but what are you doing after the pass? And if you have that 5 seconds before and 5 seconds after, it shows that. And now it just dismantles the argument. Because I'll use my son because I can only use him as the example because I'm not letting out any other kid. He's maybe 10, but he passes the ball. And I get on him because he doesn't always move after the ball. It is, he's playing center mid and he passes the ball and his job is to go make a new passing lane somewhere else or move with the transition, and he's there ball watching. And it's like, this is a great chance. Like, he has a really good successful pass, putting the ball in the right spot, maybe not be a successful pass, but putting the ball in the right spot. Sometimes stats don't show that. If you're giving the great pass and you'll watch it in the pros, the player will make a great pass and someone decides to give up because they don't think they'll be able to get there in time. The defender who was behind him made it to the ball. So it is those moments I think parents need to understand. Stats don't lie, but they also don't tell the whole story.
Look, it's a successful sideways pass. You're not passing the ball forward enough. But if you go through all the successful sideways passes, on a couple of occasions, they could be under instant pressure from the opposition and they're actually keeping possession by knocking it to the nearest player, be that they're running forward, stopping and passing it backwards. Bringing the numbers and the video together, gives a much clearer indication. And also, as you spoke there, I was thinking of one of our metrics called loss of possession. So it's when the player is dispossessed by the opposition or an unforced error where they lose possession. So yeah, you can say, well, you've lost possession 11 times in that game. But if you watch 11 of those clips, they could be hustled and harried even before they get the ball. But they could be double teamed. There could be a number of reasons as to why that's the case. And the video will give that extra, obviously the numbers, the number 11 will bring your eye to, okay, we maybe have a problem here, but the video will give the context behind the numbers. And one without the other, I don't think does justice to the other. Just having numbers, it's not going to give you that perform, that video context behind. And just having video, you're not going to watch 900 plus video clips of every single game. They certainly both work in tandem.
How do you feel you guys differentiate from the major camera systems out there? Because they all use AI. The major one that you guys have that they don't have is the human element. But what else do you feel that you guys offer that is different than everyone else that's out there right now?
I think from the major operators that are out, but the major ones, like I've name dropped Veo and Huddle quite a bit. They focus on a range of sports at a range of levels. And none of us, I don't believe, are reinventing the wheel and coming up with this crazy metric that's going to revolutionize soccer. As I said, a pass is a pass, a cross is a cross, a tackle is a tackle. But it's how we're able to, we don't have this approach where here's what we do, take it or leave it. We say, here's what we do, how can we make this work for your club? How can we make this work for your players by molding the platform around the club needs and giving the tools to the players to see exactly what they want from their game performances. From a tech perspective, some of the companies I've mentioned, they've raised tens of millions in VC funding and what have you. We can never say that we have better tech than them. But I do believe that our soccer intelligence solutions, be it soccer intelligence coach and soccer intelligence player, were able to give that elite level performance data output and insight along with the video back to youth coaching staff, back to the youth players, back to the youth parents. And you don't need a degree in soccer to be able to decipher and understand what we're giving. So it's having that youth focus, understanding our youth segment and producing a data product that can be used within this youth segment. That's where we stand out solely, because it goes back to what I said about 2 or 3 answers ago. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. It's what does the coach want or need? What does the player want and need? I quickly shift over to one of our other elements that we're standing out on from a partnership perspective, is that we have player tracker companies coming to us that we're now able to unlock that full player performance picture by amalgamating the raw GPS data output from the vests and the trackers on the back and layering our data on top. So that you may have had 14 sprints in the game, perfect. But were 10 of those running over to the sideline to get a drink of water? Or 10 of those chasing a pass that put you through on goal for a 1v1 opportunity? Or did you lose possession and you had to sprint back 10 times to try and get the ball back? We're able to give that layer of context within the youth game because we focused solely on specific age groups within a specific region, i.e. North America. So I honestly believe that's how we're going to stand out, that how we stand out is we can't beat them on tech insofar as they have the money, they have a huge resource to be able to create great cameras and to use AI to hopefully get a bit more accurate. And I can just smile and nod and say that we're more accurate than they are. But it's how we approach the data we collect and how we relay it back to the end user. Nobody the moment has this kind of approaching.
Is there anything we have missed so far that you would like to touch on?
Our message is quite simple. If you have a video camera, if you have a Pixelar camera, if you have Speedio, even a huddle camera, whatever it may be, if you have a camera at a match and you're not getting any data output from that video camera, you're missing out on a huge, huge bank of data that can power player performances and player development pathways further than you can even realize. It's all there. It's all in the video footage. And it just takes someone to release from the footage. Within our research, we found early doors was that a lot of clubs hadn't the time or the resources to be able to spend hours and hours to take this data and footage, put into a spreadsheet and maybe make sense of it. Now they don't have to. They just upload the games as they were going to do anyway, tell us the starting 11 and the substitutes, and then a couple of hours later, they get back this world of insights and output that up to this point wasn't within their reach. Reading the book, the Ian Graham book, some clubs that we work with are already doing some of the stuff that he's been using at Liverpool over the last 11, 12 years, or used Liverpool, sorry, over the last 11, 12 years. But obviously they do it to such a greater extent and such, with throwing millions and millions of cameras around the roof and Anfield so they can capture player positions. There's obviously layers of granularity they can go into that they can afford, but also that they need to go into because of the high-stakes sport with which they're playing. But the actual basics of what they do, the generation of data collection and what they do with it, that's not out of reach for a U13 club in Texas. It's not out of reach for a U19 club playing in the ECNL in Washington State. It isn't. And the power of data is there once you have the video. And within what we do, so you don't need licenses, coaching licenses, degrees, sports science degrees, whatever, to make sense of the data we put back. It's very much focused on the end user, and it's easy to digest. And you never know that those couple of games worth of matches or footage that you sent to us, it could open your eyes to things that you'd never have seen, or it could maybe say, oh, sorry, I thought somebody was much better something than they are. We need to work on that. And all of a sudden, a player becomes better just on the back of evidence that's in front of you. It just hasn't been teased out to such a great degree. So what do you know? We're great.
I like it.
But I say the stuff is there. Even if it's not us, it's with someone else. Data shouldn't be such a taboo for some people. It shouldn't be. It can be a lot easier to digest and bring into your operations than you may believe. So I think clubs should dip into it because it can really change players' pathways over the long term.
So I'm going to go over a quick recap just because we've covered a lot of information. So the age groups that you cover, from the sounds of it, it's pretty much 11v11 field size, a U13 to and up. I won't give a stopping age because if someone approaches you with something slightly older, I would hope you guys would do it. Then how do you guys provide 76 metrics for data? How do you help with players trying to get recruited? Because even if going pro or collegiate here in the United States, data is important because, like you said, we are very much data-focused people. And how can you help them get to the next level then?
Well, we can enhance our chances, should we say. We don't want to be snake oil salesmen and say we right. Definitely get them a college play. But within the soccer community here in Ireland, we tell them the element called a highlight reel, which I'm sure college scouts are inundated with and college coaches. And my own idea around that is I'm a goalkeeper for many years, and outside of goal kicks, the one thing I've probably done the most is concede goals. And you can be damn sure I'm not going to put any goal concession or goal kick into my highlight reel. So you can be sure that they're not getting the full view of what I do. Just here's the 3 minutes of my best stuff over the last 30 years. But if I'm able to add data on top of that, yes, I've conceded. ridiculous now. I've conceded 300 goals in the last three seasons, but I've had the highest completion out of 210 goalkeepers in this region. I've had the weighted distribution, and I've narrowed my options here using goalkeeper, my example, but it rings true for every position on the pitch. Here's my highlight reel, but out of this number of players across the entire data bank, and out of this number of players regionally in my position, here's where I rank. First, second, third, first, second, third, fifth, fourth, first, second, third. So there's the highlight reel that shows what you do well, but also what we give them that, I believe, that extra oomph over a couple of thousand more applications that could be sitting in a college scout's email inbox, or even with all the recruiters and the companies that are around now doing it privately. Being able to say that you're the best centre mid out of 600 in our data bank, the best at pass completion, the best at progressive pass attempts, i.e. they've had the highest number of passes towards the opposition goal, and they've had the highest number of progressive pass completions out of 600 centre midfield players. That has to be a huge, huge weapon to have in your armoury on top of the highlight reel. So we like to think that we're backing up the highlight reel. You can show all your best bits, you can show off the ball stuff, you can show some elements of on the ball, but here's the cold hard evidential numbers as to where I stand in relation to my peers at specific age groups, in specific regions, across specific metrics in this position. So that's where I believe we can add a lot of value at that college going age. We offer them all the video, and it's, if a player has 80 events in a game, they'll have access to 80 individual clips, and they can download the ones they want directly to their device over the course of the season. So it will save them time at the end of the season, or whatever point they may do it, of going in watching game after game to get that 10-second clip. So it will speed up that element of things. But on top of it, it's that ranking thing that we've spoken about, that has to have immense value to put on top of a highlight reel. That here's all my best bits, but here's actually how my numbers stack up compared to my peers in this position at this age.
Gotcha. And my favorite question of all questions to ask now, what has been your greatest influence as a player and now with your soccer analytic business?
God, as a player, I suppose, from a player perspective, it's just kind of heroes, I suppose. And I was playing, especially as a goalkeeper, I used to be a Liverpool fan back in the early 90s and probably early noughties, but I just lost interest. So I was very big into it. My initial hero was David James, if listeners remember David. And I detested Peter Schmeichel because he was the Manchester United goalkeeper. But looking back, he was Peter Schmeichel. I lost out on a huge amount of influence from a goalkeeper perspective if I watched him as a goalkeeper, not ignore him because he was just the goalkeeper of Manchester United. Just reinvented the position within my generation. The long throws, the kind of when his Olympic handball experience came into play with the long throws, the star jumps when he's 1v1 with a striker. And then after him, then there was still playing at a decent level, and then we had Iker Casillas, and I just thought he was a different level because he was playing in front of 10 strikers. There was no defenders in that Galacticos team. It was just everyone bombing forward, and they were winning games 5-0, 5-1, 5-2, but if it wasn't him on goal, they could have lost him 10-5. He just simply stopped every single shot that came at, not every single shot, but did them with minimal ease. Didn't try these crazy Hollywood saves. Just if the ball came at him, if he had to punch or kick, he stopped the ball from going behind him, which is the essence of the goalkeeper's job. It's become something different now, but for me, he was a wonderful goalkeeper because he just did the basics. So from a player, Peter Schmeichel and Casillas, myself, would have been big as goalkeepers. But from a company perspective, I read a book. We lived in Auckland, myself and my then partner, now wife. We lived in Auckland 11 years ago, and I got a book from the library called The Numbers Game by Chris Anderson and David Sally, and it just changed everything. I always wanted to work in soccer in some way, shape or form, and after reading that book, I realized the impact that numbers in soccer can have and how relatively easy it can be to get numbers from soccer and to use them. So I think after reading that book, I'd imagine I had it read within a night or a day. I just zipped straight through it, and I've read it a few times since. That was what lit the fire. And 2 years later, when we lived in London, I got a job with Football Radar. It was an extremely competitive process. I was one of six out of 340-something applicants that got the job. And it snowballed from there. But I think if I didn't read that book way back when, I could still be an office administrator in some way, shape or form. And yeah, I owe a lot to that book. And as I mentioned off air, there's a book out now at the minute. I've mentioned already a few times how to win the Premier League. It basically sounds like I'm on commission for mentioning this book over and over again, but I'm not. But I think this book has the potential as well for future soccer data analysts or even coaches to realise that the layers of data used at elite level, they're not widely out of reach, even at youth level and grassroots level. Certain elements can be cherry-picked from what they do and utilised on a Saturday morning or a Sunday afternoon. And I think if people were to read books like that in the numbers game, you'd realise that there's a lot can be gotten from data, and it can have a huge impact even on youth soccer. It's not just what you're watching on NBC, ESPN and the likes. So yeah, definitely a book is what set this off.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Colin was a great guest to have on. We've gone back and forth a lot since this interview, I feel. And I feel like he provides a great service. His business that he co-founded is phenomenal. Now, I am a data nerd. I love stats. I love data. But the one thing that's a lot of time missing, the visual. And they provide the visual with the data. And I think that's so important. When you're breaking down a game, just because your player might miss 25% of his tackles or her tackles, now you have the visual of seeing why they missed that tackle or why they aren't completing their passes. And I think that's important because at the end of the day, your player may be doing everything they're supposed to be doing. It might be an outside circumstance that broke up that pass or stopped them from making that tackle. Now you have the visual evidence of it. Or you could be like me and being a little bit more negative and say, hey, you missed this because you're not moving your body this way. Or you didn't make this pass because you didn't look up before you made the pass. But at the end of the day, the data they provide is phenomenal. The programming that they are doing behind the scenes to get this done between the human element is phenomenal. And it's not going to be inaccurate. I'm not going to drop names or systems that use AI, but I'm going to tell you this is going to be more accurate than those AI systems. So I think you might want to give them a try. Check out their website, download their app, and see what they're all about. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.